What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
I love driving with Uber because I have access to 24/7 live support. As a female driver, I need to feel protected. Uber has my back for sure. Uber, earn like a boss. Sign up to earn today at uber.com/boss.
Forever Dog.
That's what I was like, dang. In an alternate universe where what's his name is still Green Lantern, that's like three major DC characters. But yeah, obviously he's Deadpool, but like the DC of it all is crazy.
Ideally, this movie does feature three DC superheroes at the end of the day, you know?
That's yeah, true. It does. Yeah. The scene with them...
Doesn't every movie now, though?
Yeah, at this point, every movie...
has at least two.
Yeah, at least this is like the DC superheroes. Before, it's like, oh yeah, everybody's been in a Marvel movie, but this is like a DC movie. I mean,
Ryan Reynolds has also been in Marvel.
Yeah, he's also Deadpool now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, you know.
If anything, he's not even in the current DC anymore, you know.
Oh, that's right. Because Green Lantern is like gone.
Yeah.
I mean, look, man, he can make a cameo. They all do that. They all jump around now. Michael Keaton is literally Vulture and also Batman again. Like nothing.
Yeah, that's wild.
Nothing makes sense.
Stuff like that blows my mind. Like when right after
that's
it was
wild.
Infinity War came out, and then what's his name? Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin was also Cable, but like at the same
time.
But that's still
it's still
Marvel.
At least Marvel.
It's no, but that's yeah. weirder
that
to
just
me.
Happened with,
that's weirder that yeah. he's two different Marvel characters. Why are we
that
talking
happened with
about
Gemma, I mean Gemma Chan. You know, Gemma did that. I mean, I think it's cool, the superheroes in these movies. I'm like, this feels like one of those old school Hollywood blockbusters where it's like not an IP, but like this is like A-list celebrities are in this movie, so you're watching
yeah,
A-list
an old school
people
blockbuster.
Do like,
you know, yeah. it's I guess an original idea. No, I mean they're maybe going to try to make it into a franchise, but
I don't want that.
It's just it's not based on a book. It's not based on a right. It's not right.
No, is this just? Yeah, I think this is just original like. Yeah,
wouldn't
like just an original script.
Like,
is this like a hidden comic Red book Notes, we didn't know about?
Right, or like based on some on like a not like based on a novel, one of those like
Let
John Grisham
see.
Type, or you know those guys.
Wait a minute.
No, apparently this movie came about because The Rock and Ronson wanted to work together, and Ronson. Oof. My bad. Oh, what did he direct? What did he come? Oh, he did Dodgeball? He did Dodgeball?
He directed Dodgeball?
He wrote and directed Dodgeball, dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I understand that then.
Yeah.
Well, he did Dodgeball, We're the Millers, Central Intelligence, Skyscraper. Wow, he's done a lot of rock movies now.
Oh, Central Intelligence. Okay.
Skyscraper as well.
Okay, we see you, Ross and Marshall Thurber. Put this dude on Red Notice. You know, like this guy's out here doing stuff, baby. We got it. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to see how old he was when he directed.
Put this guy on
Hollywood better put him on Red Notice, you know.
put this guy on red.
Yeah, specifically so Ross and Marshall Thurber, in case you didn't know who I was.
Yes, no.
Yeah, I think we understood who you were talking about.
Oh, great. Yeah, and you agree he should be put on red notice?
What does that even mean, Bray?
What?
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
I understand.
No, what is it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, because it's like he's, because you're like, oh, this dude, he's like the hot, look at this director bouncing around doing this, that, the other. Put him on red notes.
What does red notice mean?
Red, because when you got to be looking out for somebody.
You got to put this dude on red notice.
Red notice. It's like, it's bright red notice. Mm-hmm. Too.
So both of y'all just gonna do this? Both of y'all just in this now.
All right.
Can we start the show, please?
Oh yeah. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I told you by the end of this thing, you're going to be in handcuffs. By the end of this thing, you're going to be in handcuffs.
Promises, promises.
Here's the thing. When I was thinking about doing that line, I realized there could have been a callback to this when he's like, oh, I was listening to y'all. I got here the day before. I wasn't the only one. You weren't the only one crying at the end of your lovemaking. He could have been like, oh, the handcuffs came back. Or, you know, like some kind of... it was disgusting seeing those handcuffs again or whatever. Anyway, because it kept bringing them up. You know?
I do know. Guys, for those of you who are listening for the first time, this voice that you're hearing right now, that sounds like it should curate the next art convention at the Louvre.
An art convention at the Louvre?
Specifically at the Louvre.
At the Louvre.
That voice is Jonathan.
An art convention.
Jonathan Braylock.
Wait.
Yeah, convention for art.
This man said an art convention.
That's right. Correct?
Just. All right. I'm Gerard Milligan.
And he didn't even try to combat it. And I'm James III.
Oh.
This is the episode. This is the episode we're about to get today.
Yes. I'm at the time of this recording, I just feel like I need to say it in case I completely drift off or fall asleep or something. I'm very hungover right now.
James, were you out partying?
I was. I went to a beer convention.
Was someone speaking at the beer convention, James?
Yes, sir.
Was there a narrator at the beer convention?
There was a bunch of different seminars. And and then I went to a birthday party and I drank more there. I shouldn't have. I don't know what I was thinking.
It was Saturday, man. It was Saturday. You out in the world. But we're doing the Netflix movie Red Notice.
That's right. We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Red Notice, a 2021 Netflix film starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's also got Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot. You know, The Rock just be making movies, and we be reviewing pretty much most of them. that's how it goes.
The Rock be making movies.
And we review most
that's
of them.
That's hilarious.
And we be reviewing those.
This film reportedly has a budget of $200 million, which is insane. Damn. Because it's a Netflix film, meaning they don't have a real box office. You know, they release films every week and nobody remembers because just like you can't talk about it. This movie is 39% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
What? What does it have?
39%. But the audience score is 92%. So,
okay.
Wow. That is a massive difference.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, really.
Critics. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I don't. I mean, I should look at the reviews, but I just don't even get what they would be harping on to that degree. Like, it bothered them to that degree.
Rotten Tomatoes is a weird thing, because it's an aggregate of, like, it's like if you give the review, if it's like, I don't know, let's say it's 5 stars, right? If the review is like, I think 2.5 or less, then it's just considered bad. And if it's like 3 and up, then it's considered good. And then it just, like,
okay,
39% of the reviews are at least 2.5 or less, something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's
right,
how they
yeah,
do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Wow. That's a big drop. Good God. That's a big difference.
It's a heist movie. The basic plot is that The Rock plays John Hartley, a FBI agent who is working with Interpol to try to catch an art thief, but then gets double crossed by the art thief that helped him catch Ryan Reynolds, that art thief being the Bishop, Gal Gadot. And so he has to go and try to catch her by teaming up with Ryan Reynolds. So, nice little wacky.
Is this just an adaptation of, like, Carmen Sandiego?
I remember you saying Carmen Sandiego when it first
came out. Is it just because she's wearing red?
Came out.
Why are you? This has nothing to do with Carmen Sandiego.
But it's like, it's the two people, because at first when I saw the trailer, it was like The Rock and the other FBI woman chasing, and I think, oh, they're trying to get Gal Gadot, she's the bad guy. But on the cartoon Carmen San Diego, it was like Carmen, and it was the two people trying to chase her around the world.
Sure.
And she was just like smooth.
But they're not really chasing Gal Gadot. If anything, they're running away from her or racing her,
right?
Even.
Oh, you're
you
right.
Know? Instead of
her.
Like, it's not, right. that's why it didn't right. feel like. That's why the trailer kind of looked a little bit like it might be Carmen Sandiego, but then the movie, it's like nothing. It's very far away from.
You're
that.
Right. They're trying to get it before she can steal it, which I guess kind of happens. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Does that happen in Carmen Sandiego?
They're trying to both catch her, but also like figure out which one is
Who's
the next
both?
Target, so they can. Yeah, it's a little bit both. I think. Yeah. They have a cartoon
on
Netflix.
Who are you
about
saying
Carmen
both
Sandiego
in Carmen in the cartoon? Who's?
Because I thought it was like two people chasing her. It was like two.
Oh, you're talking like about two... a cartoon, not the game show.
Oh, no, I forgot there was a game show.
You forgot there was a game show? The game show is the thing. That's the real show.
Dog, I forgot there was a game show. Oh, my gosh.
What? That's what Carmen Sandiego is.
Oh, my goodness. You're 100% right.
Where in the
oh, my
world
goodness.
Is... Carmen Sandiego.
That is crazy.
And then it was a computer game and stuff. You played on the computer.
I remember the computer game too. Wow. They should have made that into a movie.
It
That'd
is
be fun.
Maybe one of the best game show theme songs of all time.
Sung
Come
by
on,
four
gumshoes.
White dudes.
They are making it. They're making a Carmen Sandiego movie. Of course they should. This is not that.
Good.
So, shall we do initial thoughts?
We gotta. I'll start. Because I didn't think I was going to like this Ooh. Movie. And I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I also thought that a lot of it, I'm not going to say all of it, because there were some scenes that was just like, this didn't make any sense to me. But there was some, I thought a lot of it was like really well written. And like, I thought a lot of Ryan Reynolds' lines were so funny. Like, especially his like recaps of stuff, like him breaking down things. And they did this thing that like has been starting to bother me, where they would like kind of like meta reference the movie, but they did it in a way, I don't know, this was done in a way that like it was very palatable. The only thing I didn't like that I'll say in terms of the writing is it was like so frustrating that we didn't get much of The Rock's backstory. So then while like early on, I was kind of like, oh, I wonder if he's the bad guy. I fully stopped having that thought. And then the reveal was like, oh, cool. Like it was, I even though there was like an inkling of that, it wasn't like I was like, oh, this was obvious to me the whole time.
Right.
But because of the way that they just like shrouded his backstory in mystery. It was kind of like, oh, that's the one thing that I'm like, if they would have done more work to like give him a backstory that made a little bit more sense, that reveal would have been more impactful, I think.
Right.
But it was fun. I had a lot of fun. It was super funny. I thought it, I thought like that all the sequences were cool, and like and when they do the reveal and show all of the like flashbacks to everything that Rock and Gal Gadot were doing together, that was so like when he grabs her and he's like, "I love you," but that was
silly.
I couldn't stop laughing. So anyway, I had a great time. I will talk more as we get into it, but I enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, this is a you know, it's like a it's like kind of like a generic action film, but The Rock and Ryan Reynolds are both very charismatic, fun actors. They work well together. You know, it's very typical Ryan Reynolds jokes and very typical The Rock jokes, and you know, Gal Gadot is kind of being used as the like, she's like pretty and then she gets to do some fighting and reminiscent of Wonder Woman because she's like picking up a spear, and it's like, it's like very Hollywood wink wink to like who all the actors are. The plot is very is basic with the nice little twist at the end, I guess. Oh yeah, by the way, we spoil movies if you don't know, so you know, I feel like this is a Netflix film in the sense that if I'm sitting at home and I'm like, I want to watch a movie, and then I see this, I'm like, oh great, I put it on and I have a good time, and then I, you know, I forget about it, but like, of course I didn't pay any money to watch it, it was on Netflix and yet I still got to see like The Rock and like Ryan Reynolds, like that's cool, you know what I mean? The other thing about that though is like, it is kind of weird because it's like Netflix movies both make it so that it doesn't, you don't feel the pressure for it to need to be really great, but then also like it's hard for those movies to be memorable, you know, I don't know, and that, if you know what I mean. Yeah man, it was, you know, it's a fun, it's a fun ride.
Yeah man, I knew I wasn't gonna like this movie 5 minutes in. I was like, this is bad. Like, this is so bad. Like, this is so bad.
What happened 5 minutes in?
Dude, I can tell you. I can tell you what happened.
The stealing. It was initial stealing. Ryan Reynolds stealing the egg scene.
Nothing. Man, it's funny because I started watching like some old action movies recently. Like, I watched Die Hard recently. I watched Beverly Hills Cop 1. I watched Tango and Cash. And I watched something else and I was like, man, you know, the thing about these movies is that there's danger still. Like, even though like there's a lot of action, you know, Tango and Cash, you know, Kurt Russell's throwing one liners out there, same with Sylvester Stallone. Of course, Eddie Murphy's throwing out one liners. Yeah, man. Tango Cash is actually like a really good action movie. It's like,
I know,
it's actually pretty good.
But
because I wanted to watch, I kept watching these movies kind of like this. Well, I hadn't watched it yet, but I was like, man, something's off with these like new action comedies. I'm like, what is the difference? And I realized like it's almost too many jokes. Like, for instance, every time something happened in this movie, it was undercut by a Ryan Reynolds joke. Like, there was no big bad really, except for the dude from the Three Stooges who was playing, like, I've seen him play every race. So I don't know what's happening with this dude. I just know he was super tanned in here. I don't know what was going on.
Also, you know him as the dude from the Three Stooges.
Yeah, you remember that? They did the remake of Three Stooges?
I do remember that movie, but that movie is...
What? That's how I remember. I remember seeing Three Stooges. That's how I... Every time I see him, I see the dude from the Three Stooges.
You just referenced Tango and Cash and then the Three Stooges remake.
Yeah, man, the remake, man. The Three Stooges, man.
Who saw that?
But anyway, I saw it because I used to like the Three Stooges. I was like, listen, I'm going to watch it and see if I like it.
What?
I used to watch, like at night, cause we didn't have cable, like on one of those channels, like the Three Stooges, I Love Lucy, all those black and white shows would come on after like midnight. And if I snuck up, I could like watch random shit.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so I was watching, I was like, it was just too many jokes. And like, also most of the action sequences, literally almost every action sequence we've seen already, so it didn't feel inventive at all. I don't know, man. And I like The Rock, but like I've heard people call The Rock big and bald so many times, and I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just so much jokes. It was like, there was no big bad. And Gal Gadot really didn't have anything to do besides like what Braylock said. Like, she was like the femme fatale who was like pretty, who got like an action sequence.
Three Stooges actually is this dude's biggest credit.
So, I mean, again, it was fine. Like, I would never. It's fine. It was a fine movie. It was good for what it was.
I'll say this. They were like, hey, there's going to be a sequel. You know, the movie ends with that. And I was like, no. I was like, I don't need to see 15 more of these. Like, this one was fine. Like,
also, sometimes it shows, like, honestly, watching this movie, I kept thinking about Ryan Reynolds. I kept thinking about the original Deadpool. And when they, what was it, $57 million or whatever that budget was. And like, man, that movie looked so, it was so creative. It was so well done for like, it's one of those things where I feel like a big budget sometimes hurts a movie, whereas I'm like, man, you get really creative when you don't have the stuff. Like, Deadpool took place over one fight, like one big fight. We had to keep flashing back to get to it, and then we finally saw it. But I don't like talking bad about DJ movies because, you know, he's DJ, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, let's talk.
It was fine. It was fun. Yeah. It was. You're watching
also
it at home.
A sequel to that Three Stooges movie. I feel like I need to call that out as well.
I think there are plenty of action movies that don't. There are plenty of buddy action comedy movies that don't. I don't have a real sense of danger for. I will say, like, because of CGI and stuff, action movies today are. Usually can feel less, I don't know, you're like less engaged in it because it's so obviously fake, I don't know, in a way. And they're not doing like real stunts as much as they used to. Like, even like the beginning of this, when like all of the cop cars pull, I think it's like one of the first shots in the movie, it's like sweeping in, but it's like clearly CGI, and then it's like CGI cars pulling up to this building, and you're just like, all right, you know, like,
were the cars CGI in the beginning of this?
Just for a bit, like as they were doing that weird camera shot. If it wasn't CGI cars, it just like it. There was something about the movement of the cars and up, and I was like, this is fake. Like, it was like the cars like speeding through, and then other cars like stopping. There was CGI involved.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoying Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips are made from real potatoes from real farms, and they're closer than you might think. Golden grows here on over 100 farms across North America. So whenever you open up a bag of Lay's, you can thank your farmers for making your stay golden moments possible. Lay's, stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Snickers Ice Cream. The only thing that'll chill you out when you're about to find your zen and your neighbor whips out their new drum set. Made with 100% real peanut butter ice cream, smooth caramel, crunchy peanuts, and covered in a chocolatey coating. When you're out of sorts, Snickers ice cream chills you out. Buy it now at your local retailer.
You said within the first 5 minutes. So, like, what was it about this opening scene? Because so The Rock comes in with what's the other woman's name?
She was from Umbrella Academy.
Ritu Arya. She's great.
Wait,
she's in Umbrella Academy and also in Doctor.
Bad guy.
She was the new. Yes. So when you watch season two, she was the one. I guess
season
she,
two.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Was it season two of Umbrella Academy.
Two?
She's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a season three coming out now.
Oh, there's a season three coming out. Yeah. And she's in season two. She's in the they have like an institution. They institutionalize one of the characters.
I remember.
She was great, and I loved her in this, even though she didn't have a ton to do. But yeah. I really like her. I think she's a great.
No, man. I guess actor. Like the opening of this movie, I was like, okay. I'm assuming we see Ryan Reynolds make the fake egg, and then we get this. And I thought I thought this car at the beginning was CGI, and I was like, nope. It was like it almost seemed too clean Hollywood. It was like The Rock comes up. And he's like in this leather jacket and stuff.
Like,
it just
one of those jokes where the guy was like, "What is? And who is he? Your bodyguard?" And he's like, "FBI, like profiler, blah blah blah, whatever thing." And then he goes, "You don't look like a art profiler or whatever." And he's like, "I get that a lot." And I was just like, "All right."
Yeah,
it's like somebody who watched Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and was like, how come nobody ever comments on the fact that this guy is huge? And then he's like, I'm going to put it in my movie when I write it. And you're just like,
see,
we don't care.
Arnold, Bray, it's so funny you bring up Arnold because I was thinking about like Kindergarten Cop and some of these things. Yes, everyone, I'm aging myself. But when you see Arnold in these movies and he's not supposed to be cool, he doesn't dress like he does. Like, literally, if you look at him in Kindergarten Cop, he just looks like a weird dude once he finally goes undercover. And looking at The Rock, he comes in this leather, cool outfit that, like,
yeah, I mean, he's
a
like
cop
Kindergarten
wouldn't
cop.
Wear.
FBI
but I'm like, he didn't, agent. It just felt too cool. It didn't feel like.
No, listen.
All right. They try to make people look cool in Hollywood
yeah,
forever.
Absolutely. If you're,
but this is my point.
If you come in, special agent. John Hartley, or whatever his name was, right? You got to be wearing you got the leather on, you got the all black underneath.
If you
come on,
look,
baby.
If you again, you guys are right. I'm just saying, if you look back, even at like Lethal Weapon, like people dress like there's some. Of course, there's a little. You have to have a
you
little.
You like Bad Boys, right?
But even think about Bad Boys. The problem was how Mike Lowry dressed. It was like Mike Lowry had a Porsche. He shouldn't have had a Porsche. He was super rich and they were making fun of him. Like, why are you dressing like a GQ model? It was like every joke was like, you do not belong here. Like, that was the thing. All like, right. You don't belong. So it wasn't ignored.
He was still cool, though.
But the thing is, he was. But the point of him being cool was a part of his backstory. He's like, yeah, man, so what? My dad did this. I wanted to do this. I was first in my class at Miami. Like, it was a reason for it, not just because I want to be cool I don't know. I'm thinking too much into this Netflix movie. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking too much into this Netflix movie.
So it was the leather jacket that lost you. Just the first.
It was three things. It's so funny. It was three things. It was the car pulling up. I was like, this looks weird.
Yeah.
It was the outfit, and then when they went upstairs to the egg, I was like, why is the egg not in a glass? Why is it just out here in the open with just a stanchion? Like, this makes no sense. And I was like, oh, maybe it's like a, like some type of thing that the Rock can't get through when he goes up there. And when he just walks up and just grabs it, I was like, this don't make this. You would never
actually poured soda on it and melted it.
Do you go to the Louvre? First off, if you go to the Getty, you ain't getting the soda in the Getty, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't getting close enough to, like, it just didn't feel realistic from the very top. And I just could.
There was a couple things like that that bothered me too. Like, at the end, when they find the bunker and it's just, they move away a sheet of dirt. Like, it's just like.
It was like one layer of dirt. All? I was like, all right, one layer of dirt? There's going to be plants all up in this joint. This has been 60 years.
I feel like I usually get mad at Bray when he's like dissecting the movie, but for some reason at the opening, I just was not here.
I mean, you know, a movie's lost if you thinking about a chat. I mean, like, you never bought into this movie.
I think you were ready for this. You didn't want to see it. No, the thing is, I did want to see it. I think the selling of it was the moment I saw the egg and I was like, this egg isn't guarded. Like, why?
What?
At least do the thing of the glass, and it's like somebody's got to get through glass. It's two not, guards. Like, this is a special egg.
It's on display. There are guards. There's heats, temporal, blah blah blah. I don't know.
Yeah, when they said there's thermal things, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe there'll also be lasers.
We don't actually understand how he ever replaced it.
The dude didn't even know. The guy was like, he looked back at the security and he was like, yeah. And he's like, of course. I was like, you telling me this dude who's in charge of this thing don't, you know what it is? It took it back to improv days where everyone's like, you can't be stupid in a scene. It's like, no, you have to at least be the worst construction worker, but you still got to know the fundamentals of construction to know what is bad about. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm overthinking this movie. It was just, I just wasn't here.
No, it's all right.
Him pouring soda on it and it melting was interesting. I was like, so what is it? Was it made of?
I thought the same thing. Like, what is this?
Soda could melt it?
Because it turned black, like into sludge. Because at first I was like, oh, is it made of sugar? But I was like, well, sugar doesn't melt like that. I don't know what it was made of. Same. But anyway, whatever. We get a fun. I feel like Ryan Reynolds always doing his bit. It's funny. Him talking while he's running and fighting and being like,
he's doing parkour this time.
He's pulling out the cords and the beams are falling and people are getting put every single time. Someone fell off a beam. Cat went.
Are you serious?
she's turning it. Her mom is like that too. Her mom screamed like, "Oh shit!" during a Pixar movie, like out loud and all. but
that's hilarious.
But every single one of those things, like, thoroughly frightened Cat. It was very funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else. I mean. You know.
They have the chase, you know?
No, the chase is, I think this chase is probably one of the most fun scenes of the movie.
Yeah, and especially the way that it ends, too. Because they do all the, like, you know, he's there, he cuts him off, and then they go out the window, and they, you know, Ryan Reynolds bounces off of the awning, but The Rock is a massive dude, so he crashes through the awning. But when they got in the, when he gets in the car and, like, the music starts and it's like, you know, like,
that
it's,
was hilarious. What
What's that song? Sabotage starts playing and he's like, and then the second he pulls off, he gets hit.
See, James, that is what I wish this movie was. Like, I thought, like, when I saw that, I was like, okay. But see, it did. So it was like that. That was such a subversion. I was like, oh yeah, cool. We're gonna watch these movies, and all these cool moments won't happen, and it's gonna be like. Because I will say this. All right, when I was watching that chase, and this is probably what you not want. This is probably what you don't want to happen when someone's watching a movie. I kept thinking, like, damn, I should watch Casino Royale again, because like it opened with that cool parkour chase with like Bond and the dude, and I was like, oh yeah, I've seen, why have I seen this before? And I was like, that scene was so much better, and I was like, I should watch that movie. Just so everyone knows, I really do love The Rock, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal. I'm just saying, I was having a hard time, that's all, because I wanted that movie to be with this moment James just brought up. Like, that movie was so cool, it was so like, yes, this is not what you're gonna think this movie is, and then it went to being with the movie that you thought it was gonna be. So I felt, because it was so cool. I was like, yo. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, the first moment that made me go, wait, I don't think I like this is, I don't think I like some of the way that this is rendered is, it's a couple scenes later, but when they both go to the, when, you know, he gets essentially the, I'm skipping too many scenes, but when they're both in the prison, and then the warden calls them, and it's Gal, and she just lays out the whole plan. She lays out the whole plan to both of them. I was like, well, I don't get why. Why is The Rock here? Like, he doesn't need to be. Right. He doesn't need. She didn't need to call him in.
Well, to, now we
like,
know.
She could have just. You know what I mean? Like, it was just why did you
do
that?
I do like at the very end when he was like, I can't believe you didn't see through this. Because it is this thing where it's like, yeah, dude, like, it made no sense.
It
never made sense. Like, why was he an FBI? Why was an FBI agent here? Why did he care? If he cared so much about getting you, and then he was like, oh, the bishop double crossed me, and now he's like, I only want the bishop. He's like, what do you mean? Why would he only want the bishop? He want both of you. Like, yeah. it just never made any sense.
It make me think, like, oh, the only reason to call in The Rock is to explain to Ryan Reynolds how she set up the trap for The Rock, like laying out those beats to throw him off. You know, it's only, you know what I mean? Like, they explain, but it made me so mad.
It also, I mean, we don't really fully understand, one, how she knew so much about him, like how she knew where his lair was, how she knew he was going to steal
this. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
And then also how she was so connected to, like, all these different, like, she knew the Russian prison. She knew this guy over here. I was like, how is she so well connected to all these people?
She's the bishop, baby.
And her.
She's the bishop.
Yeah, whatever. But whatever. It, you know, who cares? Like, if you're watching this movie, you got to know, like, I'm just not going to care about the logic of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just, you know, fun action scenes. So, like, The Rock and Interpol finds this art thief because of the bishop. We're not really understood why. And then she steals the egg, and they get both put in prison because it's so odd. It's like when the egg gets stolen, they realize it. Of course, they're going to blame The Rock. And then they're in this prison. And I did like the little like setup of like he talked about soap and like he put the little rock there and the thing, you know. Like, that was kind of good. Yeah. You know,
that was good. Was fun. That was good.
Yeah. And I also liked that the Rock gets punched directly in the face in this. Because what's crazy is, like, there's really a part of me that's just like, I don't believe this now. Like, The Rock can't get, I don't believe The Rock getting punched. I don't believe it.
And that's it. He doesn't hit back. He just like takes, getting,
he doesn't hit back. Face. I was like, all right, I can't, you know, I've seen The Rock do too much shit. I've seen him jump off a building with a giant ape. I've
seen him do. That's true.
He can't get punched in the face.
I'm going to tell you what's so crazy, and you guys are going to hate me, so I'm going to say sorry in advance. But there's so many parts of this movie I feel like are legit just taken from other movies. Like, even this, like, when they're in prison and they escape, Braylock's going to get mad. But they did this in Tango and Cash, okay? They did this in Tango and Cash. And it was like, it ain't going cash. It was a little bit smoother because, like, he is a cop. Sylvester Stallone's a cop. And, like, both of them are cops, technically. And, like, everybody knows they're cops. And people keep coming after them. Like, the big bad guy shows up in the cafeteria, just like in this movie, and, like, tries to, like, punk Sylvester Stallone. And they try to, like, fight him at night. I just thought, like, I just thought, like, I thought the escape was going to be a little too cooler because it felt almost too CGI-y the whole time. It's like, and it didn't seem hard at all either. It just was like, this is super easy.
Yeah, because they do the, because there is a lot about the escape that is tough to do, particularly the, like, they have to scale the side of this, like, massive cliff on, and they
extremely
have, like,
hard.
Yeah, it's impossible, but they don't, like, they do, like, one beat of tripping, and then once they see their way off of it, they just are off. Suddenly off, you know? But, you know, the Russian guards had a bazooka. Like, they, you know, there were challenges to getting off of it, you know.
The escape scene from, and this is, I'm not trying.
Tango and Cash?
I don't want to, honestly, I was going to update it for you, Dean. I was going to update it for y'all.
Okay.
This will be my last time comparing it to another movie, I promise. But
no, it won't.
Yes, it will be. It will be. It will
so
be.
So early in the movie.
I promise it's going to be the last time. It's going to be the last time, James. But
they literally whistle James... Indiana Jones when they're in the.
Oh my God.
That was funny. Okay. I like that.
And he's dressed like, anyway,
exactly.
The escape scene from Black Widow, I thought was like a little bit more like intense than I thought this one was. Cause like when he has to fight through all those people.
Escape scene in Black Widow.
This is my thing. The escape scene in Black Widow. I like it better because it's still like more hand to hand and it's not just so like,
I mean, yeah,
they,
there are
in this
fighting.
One, they just appear. They just appear in different places and it's just fine until we get to the part where like The Rock is literally gunned down. And he falls down the when they blow when they blow up the bridge. I was like, yeah,
that was cool. That was cool because The Rock goes,
yeah. And then Ryan Reynolds is like, he will be missed. Whatever it is.
I can't.
Yeah. Oh, thank God you made it.
It's funny because now knowing this is the guy who directed Skyscraper. There's a scene that I thought was like super wild in Skyscraper when it was like The Rock, who I think was playing paraplegic, and he had to jump from the scaffolding to like the building, but the gap was so crazy. And like he jumps, and it's one of those straight up CGI, like.
I know we reviewed Skyscraper, but I can barely remember that movie.
Oh, see, I remember that shot. I remember like certain shots from movies, and it was just like as fake as this one looked. And I was like, oh, okay, this now makes sense. But anyway, this is just, you know, that's my last time comparing it. It's going to be all good from here.
We will see about that.
Look at that. Well, thumbs up. Everyone can't see it. It's thumbs up.
It is what it is. Like, to me, a lot of action movies are like this. Like, it's just because at the end of the day, it's hard for there to be real danger when you, one, know that the movie has to continue. You know what I mean? And then also, now with all the CGI, it's just like, because it doesn't even feel like real people. I don't know. It's just, you're always like kind of look. It's why, even though he's crazy for doing this, Tom Cruise doing his own stunts in Mission Impossible movies makes those movies feel a little bit more than the average generic action film.
Yeah.
So when he's literally outside of like that Dubai skyscraper with the thing, and you're like, he filmed this. Like, yeah, he had a harness on, but that's insane. Like, this dude was literally out of this world. You know, like, this is crazy.
He really holds on to that cargo plane.
That's insane. This is crazy, and it's terrifying. You know,
he actually broke his ribs when he jumped across, when he did that big jump onto the other building.
Yeah.
He like that shot when he lands. Ooh. Is him breaking his rib.
I think. Like,
you're like, whoa, with these other things. And you're like, when they're like on the thing, you know, like up against the wall, and it's like, but you're like, but this isn't real. Like, I know this is all fake. Like, so it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't feel, you just don't feel
what
the same
we're saying
sense
is Ryan Reynolds and The Rock should have actually scaled the side of a,
no, you know
of a snowy,
you know what? I don't want to
brick cliff face.
I try my best not to make fun of it because again, this is one of those classic Hollywood movies, and Bray's right. It's like, this is how a lot of action movies are. So, like, this is no different. I just think for some reason, I just wasn't expecting it to be so by the numbers, maybe. Maybe I, you know what it is? Maybe because of the three people, I was like, I know what Gal can do. I know what Ryan can do. We know what The Rock can do. I think I was just expecting something different. And then that,
but I think
maybe
that's Yeah. And I think that's why I liked, I can't quite describe the wording, but like the way that they sort of call out the meta things, like when he's like, and then we walk past the featured extras and we grab the thing, like all of those little thing, or like later on when they're like, we just look for a crate that says MacGuffin. There's something, maybe it's about his delivery specifically, because in another movie, lines like that would be infuriating. You know, like I would be like, all right, yes, okay, you're in a movie. We know, you know, right. But like, I don't know. There was something nice about kind of calling out the some of the paint by numbersness of it to me.
Fair enough. Because the whole idea is that if somebody gets these three eggs, missing eggs from Cleopatra, then this dude in Cairo, Egypt, you know, wants these eggs for his daughter's birthday, and he's willing to pay, I think, $300
million. $300 million. That's a lot of
money. For these eggs. And so Ryan Reynolds keeps saying he doesn't know where the third egg is, even though Gal Gadot... But then we realize that Gal Gadot is like, no, he does know where it is. Okay, and then they're like, well, let's go get the second egg. And obviously, they know she's going to be there. And then we see her call the Interpol agent and tells her, like, hey, these guys are going to be there. This guy who plays, I guess his name is Sotovoce.
That's the dude I'm talking about.
He's
from Three Stooges.
That's Three Stooges.
Oh, he's from Three Stooges? Okay, I know him. I know him from Silicon Valley.
Oh...
He plays a very funny character in Silicon Valley who, like, has $1 billion.
Oh, that's funny.
But, like, just has $1 billion and then at some point, like, loses it. And he's like, oh, no, I'm out of the billionaire club. But he's, like, so pissed that he only has, like, 900-something million.
That's actually really funny. That's actually a really funny bit.
Where is his character?
Oh, here we go.
Russ Hanneman. Anyway. He was very funny in that show. But, you know, so he has a party, and so they're trying to get the egg there. And so, like, the classic setup of, like, we need the thumbprint, we need the phone, there's cameras everywhere. What else? What was the other bit?
It was, like, you need his face.
You need his face.
Oh, you need his voice.
His face. Yeah,
his face and his voice. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. And, of course, they get it. They get the thumbprint on the glass, and he bumps into him to get the phone. Okay, yeah.
All of this talk about deepfake, that was killing me, because if you just have 12 images on the internet, I can send a video of you to your mom mouth-fucking a goat or being mouth-fucked by a goat. It's like, what is...
Yeah, that's
and then he takes the pictures of... He just takes, like, 12 pictures of The Rock immediately, like, hyper-quick.
I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell what this movie was rated at the time, because he said the F word. I think this was his first, but he almost said it earlier. I think he says it twice. And like, oh, if this is rated R, are we going to see... him at the end for the credits, see like him just like as the Rock's
mouth
face,
fucking a goat.
Deep, like something deep faking as the Rock. It's like, oh, that'd have been a funny little callback.
But needed to call attention to the simple fact that like now you don't need all of that. I mean, I guess it probably takes a while to figure out how to deep fake something, but like you don't need masks and shit anymore. Like now anybody can just...
You don't need the Mission Impossible like thing he got to take off.
Right.
That sucks. And then we get to the party and Gaul's there and at the party.
I mean, it's kind of funny like knowing the end of the movie how much like improvising and acting these two were doing together. Like, and almost not for, it's like for Ryan Reynolds, but like not entirely, because like he can't like
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it was just
yeah, he can't hear the other side of the conversation. He can only hear what The Rock is saying, right? Yeah. Like, he can't hear what Gal is saying. So, like, so they're having this whole scene, but it's like,
he's already annoyed. But, he's like, yo, you're just dancing with her in the middle? Like, what's happening?
But it's funny. I mean, like, whatever. And so, you know, the Interpol agent comes and is like, okay, if you really are him, just arrest this guy. This whole bit felt a little forced for several reasons. It was like, first of all, why did she come here alone? Second of all, once she has the drop on them, like, why would she be like, arrest them? Just like, what? Just arrest both of them and clear it up later.
Yeah, where's your backup? Like,
what do you care?
It didn't make any sense. To me, I thought they were trying to, at least what it actually did for me was I was like, okay, well, maybe the Interpol agent is working with, you know, like, I felt like they kept trying to like introduce potential people that could, because it was that scene where she's like, where he first says she's got to be working with somebody else. And so then when she shows up there and she's like, here, go ahead and arrest him. It's like, well, why would she let him do that unless she's gonna, you know, do a double cross or something, which she doesn't do, of course,
and also disappears from this scene kind of entirely that first tries to get the drop on them, and they just go into this room, and then Gal Gadot's already there, and which makes more sense now. And then we're like, oh, he's teaming up inside with this guy, you know. And I mean, this fight scene was fun.
Yeah. The fist fight scene, okay. You know what? No, man. This movie was fun. Nope. You're not gonna get me to do it, bro. You tried to set me up. You tried to get me to say what I thought about this fist fight scene. I'm not about to talk about this fist fight scene. Nope. I'm not gonna turn it into no other movie.
We talk about what we think about.
No. Scenes. Bray tried to set me up.
First of all, I'm not trying to get you to do anything. And also, you could talk about it without comparing it to each other.
But the way it was shot was, you know what? No, it's fine. It was good. It was like, man, it was so creative to see them silhouetted in front of red Pacific background. It's like, man, cool. And then seeing Gal Gadot fight off The Rock and then Ryan Reynolds, that was super realistic.
This is one of those things where she takes off
why
her
would you,
hair.
Why would you let your hair down?
I've been mad about that since the trailer, because that scene I think is in the trailer. But I feel like the only reason to do that is so that we can better hide the stunt woman that's going to be doing a lot of these fight sequences, right? Like, she can have her hair down over her head.
No, they could have did it. Again, one of the best action movies ever, Atomic Blonde. Her hair is like, it's not long. It's kind of like, I don't know what that pixie cut, I don't know what that's called, but like she has it and she's fighting in long shots, and like the dude, matter of fact, that famous stunt fighter who punches The Rock in the prison fights with Charlize Theron, like in that famous hallway staircase fight, and it's like they could have did it. But to me, her pulling her hair down was the equivalent of that woman running in heels away from a T-Rex. It's like, why are you doing
but that
this
part's great. That's a great part of
felt,
that movie.
It just felt like it was rude to women. I was like, why would you
it's more likely for it to be sexy to have her hair flowing than it is for them to do it's helping to mask the stunt person or whatever.
Because, you know, any woman who puts their hair down when they're about to like use their hands is usually like, all right, let me put my hair up real quick and let's get to work. And it's like, she going,
put my hair down. Yeah, it made no sense. Get it was out such my a face. Guy dumb thing.
Also, I'm like, y'all making Ryan Reynolds seem like he's so weak. This nigga is Deadpool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Ryan Reynolds is not a small dude. When he was so pathetic, I was like, yo, stop this.
I mean, it's funny.
But they did have him match The Rock in the prison escape. They literally did like the same moves.
Oh yeah, that's right.
When they were breaking out, which I would found infuriating, because it was like, well, he might be Deadpool, but he's not. He's certainly not The Rock. They're not that evenly matched. Like, what?
Well, technically, when he tossed his dude and The Rock threw his, when they had both spun a dude in the back, like The Rock's dude was physically off his feet. I mean, no, but this fight scene was cool. Like, seeing her fight them both with the spear, very Wonder Woman style.
Yeah,
man, it's more fighting she did in this movie than Wonder Woman 2. You know what I'm saying?
Dang. Well, anyway, that was that. They get caught because he comes in and, you know,
she reveals that they're that's working who she's been working with him the whole time.
I do like later when she double crosses him. He was like, "Really? You couldn't see that coming? Amateur hour." Like,
yeah.
It was so obvious. Like, yeah, the whole like, I'm going to torture the Rock. I don't know. That part, a lot of the stuff was forced. And I guess it's explained by the fact that the Rock was working with Gal Gadot. But it does make Ryan Reynolds' character even dumber. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because why would they? I mean, because it doesn't even make sense for her to be like, "I'm torturing him. I know you just met him and y'all don't like each other."
Yeah,
like,
why torture him? Torture me. Right. I got the info. Yeah. Why would you not torture me? Also, I kept laughing when The Rock, when they, you know, finally went up and they were at the bull. And like when The Rock gets hit by the bull, but then like kind of rolls and just gets back up again. I was like, yo, first off, one of my friends used to watch those like bull things, and the bulls normally like would flip a person. But what made me laugh is that Ryan Reynolds in this movie kept calling The Rock a brick or a wall. And so when the bull hits The Rock, he just kind of flies forward instead of like the customary like up in the air. He just like he just gets hit.
CGI
just, like,
bull, baby.
I thought it was hilarious when Mo from the Three Stooges gets knocked down when he pops up for a second. He's like, "Ha!" And
the bull just stampedes him.
First off, I didn't call him Mo, James. I think you're being very rude. Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Silicon Valley. Okay. All right. I don't like when y'all do the bit. It feels mean because you guys care. Like, you know what I'm saying? It feels mean. I feel like you guys shouldn't be doing it.
But yeah.
They get out and then immediately go to the next scene is them in the jungle.
Oh yes,
because
it's the train and the hobo.
Oh, the train first.
We learn the Rock's. Or do we learn both of their backstories, or we learn the Rock's backstory?
We learned Ryan's.
No, we already learned his.
But we didn't
learn
Ryan's. So the Rock, and the Rock is like, "My dad was a con man. And he left my parents, so I became a cop. So you became a con man because your dad was a cop, and I became a con man I became a cop because my dad was a con man. We're not that dissimilar.
Not that different, you and I."
You know, classic freaking Bobbity Blue.
I'm glad they called this out. He's Ryan Reynolds said something about like, "Oh, the dads, look at our dads," or whatever. I have never seen a movie with more daddy issues. Like, there's that point. There's that scene where Gal Gadot has the guy hostage, and she's just like, "So the reason I'm doing this is because of my father." Like, there's just another scene where someone says, "I'm doing this because of my dad." And it was like, okay, all right.
Nobody
had a mom that did something wrong. Like, there were so many daddy issues in this movie.
Anywho.
And then, you know, they get there to Indiana Jones.
He's like, "You know, you're not really a bad guy." Anywho, they get to Argentina, and because he has the whole thing about the watch too.
Yeah, yeah.
And how the watch was connected to the Nazis who are. This guy said he had the egg. Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. We get to the thing. They find the bunker, the secret bunker filled with Nazi ancient artifacts and stolen treasure. They say something about the car and how it's bulletproof. So you're like, okay, we're gonna get a car chase scene. And then there is a box marked Cleopatra and the egg is in it. And as they pull out the egg, Gal Gadot's like, "Ha ha ha ha, I got you both." But then Interpol is there. "Oh, she must have followed me. I followed you. She must have followed me." Great. Now we get the car chase scene. He's shooting.
Yeah.
This was the biggest. This was the biggest tell. The biggest tell was he was shooting at the Interpol. And Ryan Reynolds was like, "Why are you shooting at them? Aren't you on their side?" And he goes, they shot at me first, which is not a justification. It's a movie justification for the audience. But in the actual world of the movie, that character, Ryan Reynolds, should have been like, that doesn't make any sense what you're saying.
Yeah, no way.
It truly makes zero sense what you're saying right now. And clearly, you're not who you say you are.
Just so you guys know, this chase scene that happens in the tunnels is not a chase scene that's reminiscent of another famous movie. I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that.
That is it was not reminiscent?
That. It is not reminiscent of a famous chase scene from a movie that Ryan Reynolds' character was humming early at the start of this whole sequence. But I'm just saying, just so you guys know, I'm not comparing
it. I feel like
it.
There was nothing more Indiana Jones than that.
I didn't say
that
it.
Sequence of them.
I'm not saying that.
They literally go off a waterfall, which is also what happens in...
I don't know that. I didn't know that at all. I wasn't comparing
you
it to an old
know
movie.
That? I've never know. Seen Indiana Jones.
This is news to me, Bray. This is news right. to me. Well,
oh. It was very.
It's weird that it's news to you because you brought it up. You know what I mean?
No.
Because they're literally in like Nazi era
what?
Jeeps. Like it's like what? It's exactly Indiana Jones.
Dude, this is not another movie compared to another movie to me. I was like, this was a cool original sequence. That was not at all the same, like, except for somebody didn't get melted. Who yeah, I just say yeah. it was
because saying
that's not me.
It's a cool original sequence.
Yeah, man, it was cool.
When you maybe don't mean that at all.
I mean it. This was great. I didn't know this was from another movie. I just want to shout.
That's great.
All right. Well, anyway,
yeah, man.
He goes and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna go save the Rock." And he puts the egg down, and the Rock's like, "I'm right here." And he goes, "Wait, did you think I was dead?"
Cannot believe he put that egg down.
Ba-ba-da-ba.
Go in the water with the egg. Go in the water. If you want to see if the Rock's still alive, you have the egg in your hand. Go into the water with the egg. He puts it down.
That's how much he cared about
him. Gal Gadot could be out there somewhere. Take the egg from him.
He had no friends, James. This is how you know he had a friend now.
No, he had a friend.
You know?
But then we find out after he gloats to Gal Gadot, the bishop, then we find out, wait, the Rock and Gal Gadot have been working together the whole time.
Yo,
they're partners and lovers.
I didn't know it until this scene where, like, I was like, something's weird. Because also they made kind of Ryan Reynolds assholey by gloating for too long. I was like, what's happening here? And I was like, oh, honestly, this was a cool twist.
This montage
yeah,
was
I didn't,
so
I didn't
funny
see it coming.
Yeah,
even though cool
I loved this montage.
Say,
that's what I'm saying. It's like even if you thought it for a second, it goes away because of whatever. But the Rock had no backstory. I was so mad. The whole movie, I was mad about the Rock not having a backstory. It was so infuriating. And then I was like, oh, cool, he was working with him. But then I was like, that still doesn't. I'm still mad that they didn't give him a better backstory leading up to this.
His backstory is his dad was a con man. And he left his
come
and
on.
He left him. So he decided to be a better
Ryan
con
Reynolds
man.
Gives 12 speeches about what his dad did and like how his dad molded him and like all of this shit. And then The Rock says literally those two lines. That's all he says about his dad. And it ends up being true. It ends up being true, but still.
Yeah, I was like, all right, this ending.
I was furious.
I mean, honestly, I still didn't see it coming, so I was like, cool. I think at this point, I just didn't care. I was like, all right, how does this end? Literally, I think at this moment, I paused it to see, like, what happens now? And I was like, oh, it's 20 minutes left. Cool. What happens now? And then what does happen? They go to Egypt, right?
They go to Egypt, and... They have the eggs for the daughter, but then the daughter is more excited about Ed Sheeran. An amazing moment.
Of course. I mean, of course, it's Ed Sheeran.
She goes up to the eggs and then screams, "Oh my God, Ed Sheeran!" That was hilarious. And then they've called Interpol on this Egyptian guy. So the Interpol comes in and arrests him. And then and then cut to them on the boat, and Ryan Reynolds is there on the boat, and he got there the night before,
right.
And got their $300 million stolen, and they were like, "Guess what? We're going to do a sequel." And I was like, "No, thank you."
You liked it. Why don't you? It's funny because
I did like.
It's funny because I want to see the sequel because I'm like the sequel has to be better. Like you have to.
You
correct.
Draw. There's just no way you want to see this sequel. You didn't enjoy this movie at all. You didn't enjoy this movie. Why would you want to see?
Let me tell you why. Because I have been programmed now by Hollywood to trust it. Like this movie I'm watching isn't the movie I want to see. This movie is only here to set up the movie that I eventually want to see, which is the next movie. And then when I watch that movie, they're going to leave stuff out I care about. And they're going to be like, see, you thought you was going to want to see this movie, but it's that movie you want to see.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I don't want to see this next movie is I feel like I like Ryan Reynolds' character, but I don't feel like I like the bishops. I don't think I like either of them.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they were fun. But like, I don't want to spend two more hours with them. They just weren't interesting as characters.
I mean, so they don't really have much of a character to them. They are just generic art thieves.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So is Ryan Reynolds to a degree, but like he, I guess, had this a little more detailed backstory.
Yeah, a little innocence to him.
Yeah. And was you know, and was a pawn the whole time. So like he had reactions and he had and then by the end we found out all of the stuff that was going on with him was real and was really happening. But the other two, we just know they're con. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And what even is this next movie going to be?
And like, Ryan had the triple cross. What did he say? He's like, are you ready for my triple cross? I was like, yo, this movie's a mess. This is a mess, my triple cross. I mean, the sequel is going to be, what did he say? They had to steal something else and then.
I mean, listen, who doesn't like, you know, a fun heist with fun, charismatic actors?
Yeah.
I would love that.
That's but fine.
I don't know.
Again, man, it's cool that The Rock, like we have The Rock. He's the biggest star in Hollywood. He gets to do whatever he wants. And you know what? I will always champion great movies starring people of color, black folk in particular, and mediocre ones. Because to me, the moment we get to make mediocre movies and it doesn't, this movie will not be a blip on the career of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It don't, like this movie could have been terrible. It don't matter. He The Rock. He still get to make whatever movie he wants. I'm going to see Black Adam in theaters, baby. Come on now. Like, it don't matter what happens. If he shows up for 5 minutes in the 10th and final Fast and the Furious, it was worth it. I don't care about anything anybody else did in that movie, but if The Rock shows up and then, like, just rock bottom somebody out of nowhere or throw somebody through a wall, come on, baby. That's what I'm here for. And, like, now we officially, started listening to Will Smith's book. And you think about him being like Will Smith, Big Willie Weekend, how important he was. And now The Rock feels just as important. Like The Rock can open a movie that's not an IP, just on like some random shit that he made cool. And I'm like, that is so important. So yeah, man, this movie just furthers The Rock, baby. And also Gaul is great. Is Gaul, what's Gaul's nationality again?
She's Israeli.
Right. Oh, okay.
I keep thinking about Dwayne no longer The Rock Johnson from that Baywatch review.
I like Baywatch.
I hear that. I think we all liked Baywatch.
Yeah, I like Baywatch.
I keep thinking about that review because it was so wrong. It couldn't have been more wrong.
That you wasn't a person of color. That's why I need to start letting us review their movies. See?
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I would normally do a bit here where like I somehow insert Steel into this movie, you know, like say, for instance, you know, like they can't find how to get to the bunker. But then they notice like there's actually a trigger to unlock a door. And it's like, say it's like up on like a mountain of some sorts and they can't reach it. And then they're like, how are we ever going to reach that?
I mean, that's hard because they're pretty tall, all of them. So they should be able to reach it.
Yeah, no, but they like can't reach it because it's like far, you know? And then like say like Steel or something has to do like a free throw shot or something to try to make it.
Like, wait, do you like not that. Like the Steel bit anymore? Is that what's happening?
I would normally do, no, I'm just saying I would normally do a bit, something like that. And then I would probably do, you know, Shaq's voice or something like, I'll get, you know, put this on red.
I feel like you're not trying.
Something like that.
Do you feel good about what's happening right now? Just want to check.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that I would normally do something along those lines. I'm just not.
But you're not doing it.
I'm not doing it right now.
Okay. No, that's good to know. So breaking in it. So breaking in this episode.
I'm not going to do the voice or anything. You know,
not going to be like, you know, oh, we should do
since you're not doing that, break and just go ahead and in the yeah. pocket.
You know, like, I'll shoot it. It's me.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh, no. He's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to taste the flavoriest flavor to ever flavor?
Mmm.
Snapple is ridiculously flavorful. And you can uncap a Snapple real fast with every bottle. Like, cows produce more milk when they listen to music. Come on, leave the ridiculousness to Snapple and grab one of your favorites that pack a punch. Explore all of the delicious flavors at Snapple.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
It's time for the cause.
Thank you, bro.
Rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if we think a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right.
All right.
Here we go. Huh. Count of three. One.
Yeah.
Two. Three.
Oh, sorry. Can't see my hand.
Is that three pumps?
Yeah, it's three white palms.
This app, I can't see the hands. Three palms. I mean, it feels appropriate.
Yeah.
This is the first three palms movie in a long time.
Yeah, and it's hard to. I often don't like when I think back at times that I've given palms for this reason, I'm usually upset with myself. But it's like, this is just another movie with The Rock in it, and like, he could have done any movie, and like, I'm not sure that, you know, it's like, does that promote more leading Black actors if it's just another movie with the Rock in it? You know,
another movie that he's already done, and like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like you need people on the come up in some of these movies, and I'm not sure how often that happens. Maybe that's something it'd be interesting to look at as we review some of these movies. But like, how often a famous actor has a new person in it? Like, I know you used to see that a lot in the Judd Apatow movies, but I wonder like how often it happens now via action or even comedy still, where it's like, okay, it's Will Smith and like this person who's like the bad boy cop is like a young Black comedian on the come up or something like that. I'm very curious how do we actually pass the torch to people, or not even pass the torch, but like use voices to elevate other voices. Just interesting.
For as much as it's happening, it also feels like it might start happening less again, right? Because of the state of Hollywood and, you know, the post-pandemic nature of things, right? Like, feels like there's going to be less chances. I don't know.
I mean, maybe not on like the TV streaming side, but on movies probably, unless it's like one of these streaming movies.
I mean, hopefully not. I mean, there's, you know, we just did Harder They Fall and stuff. And
that's a streaming movie.
That has an eclectic cast of actors.
Yeah, but this movie was fun. If it's on, watch it. It's a good at-home popcorn film on a Saturday night. Just watch it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise. We have links to what else we got links to? our defunct Patreon. We have a year's worth of episodes on there. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. Let's see. I don't think I read this one. This is Cazals Are Retro. Nice. A great film that you should review is Strictly Business, the movie that started Halle Berry's career, and Tommy Davidson was a funny star in this film. And he was also the guy that got that saved the day.
Have we not reviewed that movie?
No, I don't think so. And I haven't seen that since. I mean, when was that?
Wow. On our list. 90s?
Wow. Have we not? That's so. Wow. That's crazy. I could have sworn we've done that, but I guess not. Well, good suggestion.
Thank you for the suggestion. That. You can follow me at John Braylock.
Or you can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Gerard Milligan.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!